Today's Shiz Masechta Menachas Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Ayin Amud Beis. The last words on the Amud Amalei Rebbe Lazar. Says Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Oishe the Dorei. Rebbe Oishe, from his generation, what's meant to say in the Gemara by Rebbe Oishe from his generation, because there was a different Rebbe Oishe who was a Tana, and he actually wasn't a colleague of Rebbe Lazar. That's how Rashi learns. Says, from here we can learn that obviously at the time of Rebbe Lazar's life, Rebbe Oishe was still alive. And that's why the Gemara had to identify that he was speaking to Rebbe Oishe, who was his colleague, who was another Amira, and not to Rebbe Lazar, not to Rebbe Oishe, who was a Tana. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara here in Masechta Gedushin. However, Rashi Masechta Saita says what it means to say is that the Gemara is going to tell us right now that he spoke to him sort of in a strong way. He told him, don't sit down. And the Gemara is concerned that somebody should think that that's the way Rebbe Lazar spoke to a Tana. And in order that nobody should have that misimpression, the Gemara immediately says that he said it to Rebbe Oishe the Dorei. He said this to his colleague. To his colleague, he was allowed to speak that way. So he said to him, "Leites v'karech, don't sit down. Get up and explain what you have to say." That's one pshat. That's the way the Ritva says. And as Ritva explains, what he meant to say to him is, "Don't sit down until you explain what you've been telling us." But there are other explanations that don't sit down even where you are standing now. That means don't sit down on your chair. And others explain that the Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, asks a contradiction. On one part the pasuk says Ve'esha Bahar, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I sat on the mountain Har Sinai," and the other pasuk says Va'noichi Amadati Bahar, "I stood there." So Rava explains Rakos Mu'umed Koshes Miyushav. Things that were difficult to understand, he said only sitting so he could concentrate better. Things that were easy to understand, he learned standing. And that's what Rebbe Oishe was saying. That was Rebbe Lazar was saying to Rebbe Oishe. The question that I'm asking you is not such a difficult question. It's not a question that requires much concentration that you would have to sit down in order to answer it. You don't have to sit, and please give me the answer. So he said, Adam Fashosli, Raha, until you are able to explain to me, Raha Milsi, you could explain to me the following halacha, Menayin Lam Oimer. We speak about the Oimer that once the carbon Oimer is brought, the question is, what, and that takes away the Issa Chadosh. And the question that he posed to him is, which produce becomes mutter through the carbon Oimer? And the halacha is that we've been saying hashrasha, that anything that takes root prior to the Oimer, the halacha is that that becomes permissible through the carbon Oimer. And that was what he was trying to ask him. So here, as we just said, that this is something that is easy, and that's why you could stand when you explained it. The Ben Yehuda had a different approach. He says that what he was trying to tell him was that these halachas that we're now going to be discussing are something that is so important and so something that we're so anxious to learn. And if he was saying to him, don't sit when you say this halacha. It's also important to point out the Taisus Masechta Bechayrus Daf Lamav Vav Amud Aleph Devar Maskil Amud quotes to Yerushalmi that even though, as we're learning now, certainly in those times there was Torah that was learned when they were standing, nowadays one could sit by all learning. The world is a world that people are obviously not that strong and they don't have the strength to stand that when they're learning. The Gemara says, Mishmesh Reb Gamliel, from when Reb Gamliel passed away, Yard the chul shloilem. People are weaker. Many connect that to the churban, that from the time of the churban, the world has become not a weaker place to be in, and therefore the halacha is that we could learn whatever type of subject when we're learning, when we're standing. There are, however, those that do different times, shvus by night or other times, learn while they're standing, because they believe that they still have the strength to be able to learn standing. And as we're learning now, there is a point to be made about standing when learning. So again, the question that's being posed is, how do we know that the Omer is matter, anything that took root? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, regarding the carbon Michas Omer, Vim Takrev Michas Bikurim Lashev Aviv, that they have to bring only certain grain can be used, only certain grain can be used because of, but a certain grain can be used. There's certain grain that can't be used. What is the difference? Something that took root before becomes mutter through the carbon mechus aimer. Something that did not take root before does not. Says the Gemara, who says that that's the way to understand the pasuk? Dilma, maybe the way to understand the pasuk, the lav aviv, that loyalim dial shlish. It has nothing to do with taking root or not. Whatever already grew a third of the growth, that's what the Omer makes mutter. But anything that did not grow a third of its potential growth, the Omer does not make mutter. Elam Shmuel, the Pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about Ktziris Omer, says the Gemara, Elam Shmuel, Meherchel Kermish Bekama. The Torah, when it speaks about that, uses the word Meherchel Kermish Bekama, that says at the time of the cutting of the Omer, the halacha is that it becomes, at the time of the cutting of the Omer, it becomes mutter. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, the Ika, the La Bar Chemish, something which is not cuttable, magel means with a sickle, something which is not cuttable, something which cannot be yet cut, is not going to be mutter by the Omer. And what does that mean? That means that something which did not take root. Says the Gemara, who says that that's the definition? Asked the Gemara, Dilma, what is meant here is the Labar Chemish, the Loilam Shachas. Maybe what it means is that it already grew to the category of Shachas. Shachas is grain that's already edible to the animal. And that's what it has to be, that it should be able to be used for to become mutter by the Chodosh. Not something that's only that's took root. Amar of Yitzchak, so Rav Yosef says, the Pasuk says, Kama, that something that's growing stalks is brought as the carbon omer. La mechlal, the laba kaima, that there are grain, barley, that did not yet take root, that cannot be used for omer, and they don't become mutter through omer. So as well, the laba kama, but maybe ask the Gemara, the way to understand the pasuk is el olam agam. The pasuk is teaching us that they have to come to the category of agam. Agam means that they grew somewhat to the degree that if you bend them, it's already tall enough that it could be bent over. The top could be bent to the bottom. But if it's less than that, who says that the Omer will make it mutter? Ela Marava, the Pasuk says regarding the Shtei Alechem, the Pasuk says, V'chaga kotze b'kurim asecha asher tizra b'soda, says the Gemara, M'shas Zriya, from when it takes root, the Torah is telling us that's when it becomes mutter. And of course, Rashi points out, as we just said, even though this pasuk is not referring to Michas Omer, that pasuk is referring to the Shtei Halechem, the pasuk that says Asher Tizra, just like the Shtei Halechem we know is what makes the Shtei Halechem we know is what makes the permissibility to bring Karbonos in the base of Migdosh from the Chadosh. So there's a very strong connection when we speak about the Shtei Alechem and we speak about the Michas Omer. They both have direct relationship to what we when we discuss the Chadosh. So what the Pasuk is teaching us regarding the Shtei Lechem can be used to teach us regarding the Michas Omer that it took root. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa L'Rava, if you're going to learn from that Pasuk, he asks him, Ihochi, Avgav Delay Hishishnami, then the Halacha should be that even if it didn't take root, the Pasuk says that it was planted. So according to this, as long as something was planted before the second day of Pesach, the Michas Omer shouldn't take away the Issa Chadosh. Amalei, so Rav responded to Rapapa Sudni, he called him a Talmud Chacham. Sudni is a way of calling him a Talmud Chacham. Rashi explains, because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Soid Hashem Lireyov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his secrets Lireyov. That's why a Talmud Chacham is called Sudni. Another pshat that Rashi offers is that Sudni is somebody who makes beer. And the Gemara Masechta Pesachim says, the Rapapa said that if he wasn't a beer manufacturer, he would have never become wealthy. And manufacturing beer, somebody who manufactures beer, is called Sugni because it stands for Soy No. That it's a secret that a person, it's a wonderful secret to know that manufacturing beer is a great thing because it's something that is a profession that typically makes people wealthy, and they could use their money for tzedakah and chesed. So he said, how do we know it means hashrasha? So he says, because the pasuk says besodik siv, and from here it has to be that it was already besodah, that it took root. It wasn't just enough that it was planted. Continues the Mishnah, kaitzrim beis ha-shlochem. As we've discussed previously, the definition of a beis ha-shlochem is a field that the rainwater in that field is not adequate to help grow the crops, and you have to irrigate the field, shebemakim, that is found in the valley. And the halacha is that even though we're learning that you're not supposed to cut anything until the second day of Pesach, until the carbon omer is brought, however, the Gemara is teaching us that the beis hashlochem shebemakim, there you may cut the grain. And there are a number of reasons. One reason is because this produce that's going to get ruined. And since they're going to get ruined, we need to get them cut before they get ruined. That's one explanation. The other explanation is that since these are low quality grain, it's not the type of grain that's going to be used for It's not the type of grain that's going to be used for the carbon omer. Where may we not cut before the tzeiras omer? A grain that could potentially be used for the omer, but something that can't be used for the omer, we have no problem cutting. Avaloi, the halacha is we may not cut avaloi gochim. We're not allowed to turn it into piles. And the reason we're not allowed to make it into piles, says Rashi, because there's no, we're here, we're concerned that they're going to not be able to last. But not making them into pile won't prevent them from getting, won't affect them. And therefore, since there's no chash hefsid, Chazal said don't make them into piles, because Chazal were concerned that one may come chas v'shalom to eat the chadosh before it's permissible. Another explanation that I saw is that if normally when grain is cut, immediately after the cutting it, they turn it into piles. And if we're going to do it here the way it's always done, there's a real concern that you're going to come to eat it. In order to make a shinui, we cut it, but we don't put it into piles. And since we don't make it into pile, that will serve as a reminder that somebody should not come to eat it. Continues the Mishnah. Anshi Yericha Kaitzim Beretzayin Chachamim. The people who lived in Yericha were not cut their grain early, and the Chachamim did not say anything to them because, says the Meiri, because a pi halacha, you're allowed to cut. However, as we're learning now, Chazal did not want them to make it into piles. For goyim shloim b'ratzoy chachamim, and that was something the Chazal did not want, as we just learned that you shouldn't do kedusha. But still, says the Gemara, lo mecha v'yodam. And the reason, the explanation of this Gemara, I think that's what the Miri means to say, is that since Me'ikar Hadin, according to the letter of the law, they are allowed to do Gedisha, the entire reason why Gedisha may not be done, as we were learning, is because Chazal were concerned that you may come to eat it. So yes, of course, we have an obligation to fulfill what Chazal said, but it isn't rise to the point that they should be michabem, that they should be ostracized or rebuked publicly. Koitz l'shachas, if we have produce that is ready to be eaten for animals, as we said before, and you're cutting it for that reason, the halacha is that koitz l'shachas or machal behema. You're allowed to cut it when it's at that status. Would you go is to serve it to the animals. So it seems that you only, the Mishnah is being very specific in what it's allowing to happen. What it's allowing to happen is that it has to be shachas, that it's not completely edible, and it's only permissible when it's going to be for animal feed. But if it's going to be used for human consumption, then it's never mutter. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos and other Rishonim, however, learn that koitz l'shachas means that you're always allowed to cut the grain if it's only in the status of shachas. And then there's another halacha. If you're cutting the grain with the goal of serving it to animals, there the halacha will be that you're allowed to cut it even for the sake of animals, even though it's completely grown, since you're not doing it for human consumption. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yehuda, Emesai, when was this said? Bizman Shemaschel, Achlevi Shlish, that you started growing, you started cutting it before it grew a third. However, once it grew a third, then once already grew a third, then Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you're not allowed to cut it. But Rashi explains that when we explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that if it didn't bring a third, we're allowed to cut it, what Rabbi Yehuda means to say, that not only are we allowed to cut it when it didn't bring a third, but once we started cutting it under those circumstances, we could continue cutting it, even though now it has already grown a third. Rav Shimon's opinion is, you're allowed to cut if the goal of your cutting is to serve it for your animal, under all circumstances, afke shivi shlish, even for its animal. That's the way Rashi learns. The Ravid says that you're allowed to cut even for human consumption at this point, but the difference between animals and humans is that by animals, not only are you allowed to cut it, you're allowed to feed it to them. And by humans, we're allowed to cut it, but we're not allowed to feed it to the people until after the Chodesh. The Kaitzrim of Neatius continues the Mishnah. There are other reasons that we're allowed to cut the before the Omer. And that is from Neatius, that if the young trees need to be cut, and if not, they become damaged, then we're allowed to that's a reason to cut. Another reason, Bnei Beis HaEvel, they used to have, when Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody was nifter, the Gemara Masech, the Ksubas Daf Ches Omer Beis teaches us, they used to, the first meal that Avelim eat, Rachman al-Tzlan, is a Sudas Havroa. It's a meal that other people serve them, and it was typically eaten outdoors, and that's where they would say Birchas Havelim. And because they needed many times a large empty area for that, it's called Beis HaEvel. And the reason that it's mutter is because it's a tzarech mitzvah. Of course, the Tosfos Yontov asks a question The way we're learning, we're cutting in a place that's, we're cutting grain or whatever in a, trees in an outdoor area for the Avelim. So why is it called Beis Avelim? So he explains that sometimes we find that the Torah uses the word bayis, but it doesn't mean an indoor place. Like it says in the Chumash, for Yishma Beis Paroi. It says Beis Paroi doesn't mean the house. It means the people that it were part of Paroi's whole household. Or we often have Beis Yisrael. It doesn't mean the house of Yisrael. It means Klal Yisrael. Here too, even though the Mishnah is using the word bayis, it doesn't mean an indoor place. Another reason to cut earlier is when they bittul Beis HaMedrash, that when there was not enough room in the Beis HaMedrash for all the Talmidim who gathered to learn, they would used to go outdoors to learn. And therefore, if that's the purpose of cutting, it's mutter. And Rashi explains that in all the cases that we just identified, why we're allowed to cut, even though it's earlier than the time you're allowed to cut, is because the Torah, it's a tzarech mitzvah. And Rashi seems to follow what we learned. Ktzirchem, when you're cutting for your own purpose, you may not cut too early. V'loy ktzir mitzvah. But it's not when it's for a mitzvah. The Sfas Emes has a different approach. His approach is that when you're cutting, and the goal of your cutting is to have grain to eat, and we're learning about the Issa Chadosh, so then the halach is, we have to be strict. But in the cases that we're speaking about now are not cases where we're cutting for the purpose of eating. The purpose of the cutting is that different reasons. And because there are different reasons that have nothing to do with eating, we're permitted. But, says the Mishnah, in all the cases, the halacha is, since we're only cutting for the various reasons that we're just giving, lo yasas and kriches, we're not allowed to make them into bundles, amnichem tzvosim, we just may leave them as a pile. That, but not anymore. And again, the reason is that it should be obvious that this is not grain that's just cooked, that's cut and processed the way it normally is. There should be recognition that we have a chadash consideration here. Mitzvah Aymer Lovam and Akama, the Aymer that we bring for the Kavah Mechus Aymer should become from something that's standing. V'loy Atzop, then the halach is, in other words, we should cut grain that's connected to the ground. It says the Mishnah, loy matzah, if you weren't able to find such grain, then yove min armrim, then the halach is, you'll have to bring it from the grain that's already made into piles, made into bundles. Mitzvah salofa min halach, l'chatchila, one should bring moist grain, loy matzah, but if that's not available, Yovesh, you could even use grain that's already dry. Mitzvah liktza belayla. The mitzvah is to cut the omer the night of the second night of Pesach. Niktza b'yomer, if it was cut by day, it's kosher. So ask the Sfas Emes, of course it's okay. Because we just learned a moment ago in the Mishnah that even if you already have bundles of grain that were processed previously, that you could use them. And those were presumably cut by day. So why, if that, so we already know this halacha. Answers the Mishnah to teach us, says the Sfas Emes, the Mishnah is teaching us that if you're cutting by day, so of course it would be acceptable. It's no worse than having pre-prepared grain. But what the Mishnah is teaching us, says the Sfas Emes, is that if you cut by day, it's not that just that you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah of bringing the omer. You cutting by day is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of ktsira. And finally, v'doicha es Shabbos, that the halacha is that if the second day of Pesach, which as we explained previously, is not possible in our calendar, but in their calendar, if the second day falls on Shabbos, we're allowed to cut it, we're allowed to cut that omer on Shabbos. There is an interesting discussion in the Mefarshim, is this halacha only said to Kohanim, who are the primary individuals who have to bring the omer, or anybody could cut that grain? The question that comes up is that our Mishnah gave us, from the beginning of the Mishnah, Kotzimes Shlachim Shabamokim, different situation, different cases that were allowed to cut the new grain before the carbon is brought. And the question that comes up, can we cut grain in Chutz Laretz? Because since we learned that one of the reasons we're allowed to cut grain from the Beis HaShlochem, we explain, is because that is grain that can never be used for the Omer. Similarly, grain from Chutz Laretz cannot be used, and since they can't be used for the carbon, we should be allowed to cut it. The Rambam's opinion is that we allow to harvest grain in Chutz Laretz. The Isser of Chadash, even if the Isser of Chadash applies in Chutz Laretz, says the Rambam, that's the Isser Achila. We're not allowed to eat the Chadash in Chutz Laretz before the second day of Pesach, the third day of Pesach. But regarding cutting, we are allowed to. However, moreover, the Mishkan of Yaakov says that even though Bezman Hazeh we don't have a carbon Omer, still the Isser of harvesting Chavash and Etz Yisrael is still in effect. And just like there's an Isser Tit Chadosh in Etz Yisrael, so too before the second day of Pesach, before the end of the second day of Pesach, so too will be the Halacha regarding harvesting Chavash and Etz Yisrael, even Bezman Hazeh where there is no carbon Omer. The Rishash disagrees. He says that the Issa Te'it Chadosh applies even today, because the Torah, when it speaks about Chadosh, says, Ad Etzem HaYoyim Hazeh. He says, however, the Issa to cut Chadosh does not apply Bezman Hazeh, because the Pasuk that teaches us that we're not allowed to cut Chadosh is learned from the Pasuk, Reishis Kitzirchem. The Torah is teaching us that we're not allowed to harvest grain, so that the first grain that we harvest is the grain that we're going to use for the Michas Omer. But, says the Rishash, since unfortunately we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and there's not going to be a carbon Omer, so he says there's no issa to harvest grain, even in Etz Yisrael, even Bezman Hazeh in Etz Yisrael before Pesach. The Sfasem says that one, we always have to be hoping and living with the hope that there will be a carbon Omer. And therefore, because we believe, we believe and hope that Mashiach is imminently going to arrive. So if Mashiach will imminently arrive, there will be a Michas Omer, there will be a carbon Michas Omer. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes, that in Etz Yisrael, at least in Etz Yisrael, Bezman Hazeh, one should not cut any grain before Pesach. Begins the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yamin, Omer. Kosov Echer Omer, one pasuk says, V'ktzartem es ktsira, v'vesa es ha'omer. So the pasuk says that it seems to teach us that we're allowed to cut before the Omer is brought. V'ksiv, but on the other hand, the pasuk says, v'reishis tzirchem elakoyin. So it seems that the first thing that we cut has to be the carbon, the Omer that's going to be, the grain that's going to be used for the carbon Omer. Okay, so how do we, says Rabbi Yamin, reconcile these two psukim? He says, "Mimakom shata mevi yata koitzer, from any place that you could bring the Michas Omer, you're not allowed to cut before the Omer is brought. However, mimakom shiata mevi, from a place that you're not going to bring the Michas Omer, from such a place at the koitzer, you could cut before the Omer." Ask the Gemara, Ema, says the Gemara, maybe what the pasuk means to say, as we mentioned, Shata, maybe from the type of grain which you bring the Michas Omer, barley, Yata Kaitzer, you may not cut before the Omer. Minch Yata, maybe from the type of grain, notably wheat and oats and rye, that are not used for Michas Omer, the halacha is at the Kaitzer, that you should be allowed to cut before Pesach. Says the Gemara, Hulay Matzus Amrit. That explanation is not a tenable explanation, because with Rabbi Yochanan, we learned in our previous year that Rabbi Yochanan, when he speaks about challah, taught us that just like challah applies to all five types of grain, this of Omer applies to all five types of grain. So therefore, from there we learn that even the types of grain that cannot be used for the carbon Michas Omer cannot be cut before Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Anshi Yericha Kaitz Mitzayin Chachamim, the Anshi Yericha would cut with Chazal being satisfied that they cut. However, the Goychim, but when they made them into bundles, Shloi Mitzay Chachamim, that was something that Chazal were not satisfied. Says the Gemara, Man Shamalei, who is this Tana that uses the word micha v'lo nicha, that says certain things they were satisfied and they did, and certain things they didn't say, they weren't satisfied with micha v'lo micha. Says the Gemara, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that we see that Rabbi Yehuda uses this kind of language elsewhere. Says the Gemara, for some Rabbi Yehuda, tzir dan shirichai, is that possible to suggest, as the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda felt that this, that they're cutting the grain in Yerichai before Pesach is acceptable. The Sover of Yehuda Tzirat and Yerichai B'Ritzoy Chachamahavi, that was acceptable. Ask them of Atanya, the Bryce teaches us, Shisha Dvarim also Anshi Yerichai. There were six things that the Anshi Yerichai did. Shloisha B'Ritzoy Chachamim, three were with the consent of Chazal, and three were something that against Chazal. The kol hayoyim, that you're allowed to graft trees the entire Erev Pesach. And Rashi explains that we know the Gemara Masech the Pesachim, Perek Mokum Shenagu, discusses extensively if you're allowed to work on Erev Pesach, before Chatzos, after Chatzos, depending on the minig, and they considered doing this kind of graphing something that's not Melacha Cheshuva. And in fact, many explained that that was their mistake. They know that a Melacha Cheshuva may not be done on Erev Pesach. Moreover, if they consider it a Melacha Cheshuva, they wouldn't have done it. But because they believed that this is not considered a Melacha Cheshuva, that's not considered a significant type of work, that's why they did it in Erev Pesach. Makivet the kolim kol hayoyim, karchem shema. So here too, there's a discussion in Masechta Pesachim, what does karchem shema mean? There's a machloikus tenoim. Ramey's opinion is that they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and they immediately began Vahafta. They did not want to separate Parshas Shema. The sentence of Shema represents Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, the accepting upon themselves Yerushmayim. Vahafta refers to Havas Hashem, and they did not want to separate between the two of them. Another explanation in what Karcha Shema, what the concern is, it sounds like the way they said it, they didn't say it with the proper commas and periods, it sounds like that they're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael, answer us. Another pshat that Yehuda offers is that they did not say Baruch Shem, another explanation is that the way it sounded like it was Hayoim Alavavka, that today we have to serve Hashem, and of course that's unacceptable. We have to serve Hashem forever and for always. Yerushalmi explains that when we say Shema, we have to be careful to separate and enunciate every word separately, and they didn't say it in a way that they said it properly. I saw Adam of Rabbeinu Yoina picks up on that. They didn't say it slowly, carefully, deliberately. That's not the way you're supposed to say Shema. Another pshat is that they did not have Kavana when they said Shema. And of course, we know certainly at the very minimum, when we say Parsha Shema, we have to have Kavana. And they didn't have the proper Kavana. So if that's the case, that we know that saying Shema, we have to have proper kavana. Why lo micha b'am chachamim? Why did Chazal not say anything to them? So I saw the Mefarshim explain, there's a halachic principle, a mutav she'ei shogigim v'lo yei mezidin. sometimes it's better not to say something, because if you say something, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. And that was the case here, where Chazal recognized that these individuals, even if they're told that you have to have kavana, won't have kavana. Maybe they don't have the ability to have kavana properly, and that's why nobody said anything, because they knew it wouldn't be helpful. And they cut before the Omer, and this was everything with Chazal's consent. What were the things that they did which Chazal were not satisfied? As we've been learning, that even though we're allowed to cut under certain circumstances before Omer, we're not allowed to make it into bundles. Umatirim gamzius shel hegdash shachorav shel shikma, that the trees that were hegdash, that were chorav trees, carob trees, and sycamore trees, they would use, because whatever grew was considered gedulei hegdash, and they held that something that grows from hegdash was not subject to mila. There are different explanations why gedulei hegdash are not subject to mila. Some say that gedulei hegdash don't become hegdash. Another explanation is, very nice explanation, is that only something that became hegdash because a person was magdish it can become subject to mila. The gedulei hegdash don't become hegdash because a person was magdish it. They become hegdish because they were growing from hegdish, and the special din and the Torah of mila doesn't apply to them. They opened up the fields that poor people should be able to end. They would open up the doors of these places even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's not allowed to be done on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Divrei Rameya. So I saw that we gave so many different explanations why what Karach Shema is. And we see that it was Rishloi B'Tzoy Chachamim. Chazal weren't happy with it, V'loi Michabam, but they didn't say anything. Why didn't they say anything? And I saw that the Shem B'Shmuel explains that, as we explained when we spoke about Karach and Shema, that many of the things that they did by Karach and Shema, they thought they were doing the right thing. So explains the Shem B'Shmuel. If somebody is doing something, and I think what we said before combined with what we're going to say now, if somebody is doing something which is halachically unacceptable, but he thinks what he's doing is the right thing, and it's also a situation that even if we'll tell them what you're doing is not correct, they will still continue doing it. So there, it's a situation where like Michba Chachamim, the smart thing is not to say anything. Amal continues the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rameya, "In Betzayin Chacham Hemayosim, if what they did was acceptable, so then Yekal Adam Ayosim can. So everybody should be do it. Ela Elu VeElu Shloim Betzayin Chachamim. Everything that they did was against the halacha. However, Vashloishim Michabahem, three Chazal Michabiyadam. Three of those cases were cases where Chazal felt the need to say something." And others were cases where Chazal did not see the need to say something. And he explains, what were the cases that they did say something? That they thought that the branches of Hegdish could be used for private use. Shall charav shall shikma parts and branches grow same, but the same could they lachal neshal aniim b'shnei b'tzur b'shevus v'yamtiv. They broke open the doors on Shabbos and Yamtiv that they shouldn't done. For nice and pale a yerek, and they used to take payer from vegetables that grow on the field, even though there is no chiyuv of giving payer. And what's the problem if they were being generous? Because if they gave payer, something that you give payah is not chayiv in trumas and maestris. But it, and therefore, since they thought they were doing the right thing, they were not giving truma and maestra, which they have no right to do. Of course, Tosfos asked the question, why is payah not chayiv in trumas and maestris? Because you're mafker the payah. So if they were mafker it, why would it not, why is not, why is not a, it's not a problem anyway that they're not giving maaser. It's hefker. There's no chiyuv maaser from hefker. So Tosfos answers, there's a famous machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai's opinion is that hefker laniyim, that even if you just take hefker for one group of people, it's enough to be considered hefker. Beis Hillel disagrees. And Beis Hillel's opinion is that it has to be hefker both laniyim and lashirim. So over here, they were only being mafka those vegetables for poor people. So it doesn't really have the halachic status of hefker. If it doesn't really have the halachic status of hefker, it is chayiv meiser, and that's why Chazal were upset. Ask the Gemara, Ultamech, so we see from this braisa that they cut the oimer before the Pesach, and Chazal would not happen. If that's the case, how do we understand our Mishnah that says that cutting the Omer under certain circumstances before Pesach is acceptable? Ask the Gemara, Utameich. There's a much more fundamental question. Shiva, Shisha, the Braisa keeps on saying that there were six things. Ask the Gemara, Shiva Hava, if we'll count, there were seven. Ella, what must we say that why are there only six? Because some mekan koitzrim. Take out of the list the whole thing, whole discussion of koitzrim, because indeed, the halach is that koitzrim is permissible before Pesach, given the circumstances as we learned in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah, koitzrim l'shachas, if the grain is only in the status of shachas, and you're serving it to your animal, you're allowed to cut it before Pesach. Says the Gemara Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah teaches us Masech to pay up. As we mentioned a moment ago, the halacha is that from every field, we have to leave over a corner of the field, which is used for pay up. And the question is, if we have a very big field, but there's something separating the field, the discussion here is, what is considered a separation, and we make it into two fields, and therefore each field has to have its own payah, and what is not considered a separator that will not have its own payah. So the Mishnah Masech Tepeyah discusses Ve'elish Mafsikim Bepeyah. The following situations divide the field into two. Hanachal, if we have area that is that we can't grow anything on, we can't work on that, that separates the field. Hashlulis is a puddle of rainwater. Derech HaYochid, a path that individual walks on, 4 amos wide. V'derech HaRabim, a path that Rabim goes on. The path that a Rabim travels is 16 amos. There's an obvious question. If a Derech HaYochid makes it into two fields, a Derech Rabim certainly makes it into two fields. So why does the Mishnah have to say Derech HaRabim? And therefore, some have the girsa that it says derech harabim first, and then it says derech hayochid zu vein tzarech loim zu. Says, but I saw that the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos has a different way. He says that a derech harabim is something that people sometimes travel this way, and sometimes travel another way. So therefore, it might not be as much of a derech that as a derech hayochid that is always going to be used. And therefore, maybe only a derech hayochid is mafsik, so we teach us that even a derech rabim is mafsik. For shvil rabim, if you have a narrow path between where people travel, and I saw that the Mefarshim, the Rashbam, describe what's the difference between a derech harabim and a shvil harabim? And he explains a shvil harabim is a place where people walk. And a derech harabim is a place that people used to go on by wagon. And because of that, they explain that since the Shvil Rambam is a place that they used to travel by wagon, it's wider than a Derech HaRabim where they travel by wagon is wider than a Shvil HaRabim. Shvil HaYochid, a Shvil HaYochid that people walk on a regular basis, if it's wide enough, explains that a person could walk there, HaKavu B'Mosecham B'Mosec Shamim. All of these cases that we just identified, says the Mishnah there, have to be there all the time, both in the summer and the winter. Vabor, if you have a field that is not plowed and planted, Vanir, or field that's plowed but not planted, or Sarachar. If we have two places in this field but have two different types of produce growing, HaKoitz L'Shachas, if somebody has a space in the middle of his field that he cut Shachas, Mafsik, all of these things separate the field. Divri Rameya. V'chamayim, Mafsik. If somebody cut just for Shachas, it doesn't separate into two fields because cutting for Shachas, and this becomes a very important principle for the shear, is that considered an act of normal harvesting? And if it's considered an act of normal harvesting, so that's what we do in fields, and it wouldn't be mafsik. If it's not usual harvesting, then it would be considered a separator. And therefore, he could leave peya for this whole field, even though he harvested for shachas, only elam ken choresh. If he plowed a part after he cut for shachas, then it will be considered an area that was divided. Amar Rabbi B'chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Remeir, who holds that cutting for Shachas separates the field, B'shitas Rav Shimon Amar, he agrees with Rav Shimon from our Mishnah. The Rav Shimon and our Mishnah said, Yiktzar, that you're allowed to cut the Shachas before Pesach, V'yachol, and you're allowed to feed it to your animals, Af Mishvi Yishlush. Alma, why is he taking this lenient approach? Because it's not considered kol l'shachas, anything cut in that way and that purpose is not considered an act of ktsira. And therefore the isser of ktsira before Pesach would not apply. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Rameyer who over there says kotzer, the Rameyer over there who says that kotzer l'shachas is mafsik is because he holds that that's not called harvesting. Says the Mar Yosef Rav Kamal Shmatzah, Rabbi was sitting and teaching us this Gemara, and says the Gemara, Eisve Rav Acha Bahuna L'Rova. The Raisa teaches us, Ochla Chargav. If a field that was attacked by grasshoppers and they ate up the grain, Kesmua Namalim, or by ants, Shavra Saruach, or there was a terrible wind that affected the stalks, Hakamoidim, everybody agrees, Chorish, if after these events occurred, you plow the field, mafsik, that will divide the field. Loi charish, ain't a mafsik. But if you didn't plow after these events, these events do not divide the field. Ask the Gemara, hakol moedim man, what does that mean? Doesn't mean, Rameyer, that even though he holds that cutting for shachas is not considered an act of harvesting. And since it's not considered an act of harvesting, he says these different situations are considered an act of harvesting, and therefore it doesn't divide the field. So the Gemara makes its point. Iyam b'shlomo, if we're going to explain that Amos Nisan, that Am Mishnah that says HaKoytzel Shachz Mafsik is speaking about that a vishlish, shloi vishlish, that it didn't grow a third, and therefore it's not at all considered an act of harvesting. But the brisa that just spoke about a case where it was attacked by the grasshoppers, etc., and says the charsh in a loy charsh law, and the brisa made a distinction, if you plowed, that's considered an act of that if you plowed it, it separates, otherwise not, because it's talking about a vishlish. So we're talking about two different cases. One is talking about a case where a vishlish, and one is talking about a case where it wasn't a vishlish. And if that's the case, everything is reconcilable. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say der Masnissen, that our Mishnah that says a koitzel shachas, that the Mishnah that says a koitzel shachas mafsik, is even in a case that we shlish that it brought a third, hashta, ma hasam tzira da adam. A person normally doesn't cut that way. Amrameya loishmak tzira hacha, in this case, where it was eaten and then plowed, that the halach is loikoshkein, we shouldn't look at it, we should not consider it an act of harvesting. It was just an act of something beyond his control. Ella, the way to explain Rameyer, who holds that Ktzir l'shachas is not considered an act of harvesting, Pshitus Rabbi Yehuda is following the opinion of Yehuda from Mishnah. Domar, Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah said, Ey Messiah, when am I allowed to cut for shachas? Bezman shehitzchil ad shalayvi shlish. Only if it didn't grow a third. Avam hitzchil, if you started at shavi shlish, if you started cutting before a third, it's usur. And therefore, there's no problem. Ramei is speaking about a case when you started cutting before it brought a third, and therefore, it's not considered an act of harvesting. The Bryce is speaking in a case where we already brought a third, and that's why it could be considered a legitimate act of harvesting. Ask the Gemara, how can we say the Rameyer and Rabbi Shimon are agreeing? Aim at the Shamal Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds that cutting shachas is not considered an act of harvesting. That's when you're doing it for behemah. Lodom mishamtlei. Did he say that if you did it for human consumption and it's shachas, it's permissible? Then Cain, in that, you can't say that. Have a closer to noim. Because we're gonna, if this is the way we're gonna learn, we're gonna end up with three opinions. The opinion of a Tanakhama will be that you could cut for shachas daimer before Pesach and serve it to your animals. Then we'll have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that we only could cut if it's not a third grown, and then you could cut even for human consumption. And then we'll have Rabbi Shimon's opinion that we could cut even for human consumption even after it grew a third. So according to this, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama is not allowing it for human consumption, and Rabbi Yehuda is. And the Gemara's problem is that Rabbi Yehuda prefaced his words of our Mishnah with Emesai. And whenever it says Emesai, the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, teaches us what it means to say is that it's not arguing, it's explaining. So that's the case. How do we understand the Mishnah? Says the Gemara El Kiosk, if this is the way we're trying to understand Ramey's opinion and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, says the Gemara El Kiosk, Rav Dimi, Omar, Rameyer, Rishita, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Omar. Ramey was following the opinion of Rav Shita, of Rabbi Kiva, who distinguishes between a third or not a third when you're cutting shachas. Af Adam, even if you're cutting it for human consumption, if it did not bring a third, lo yav ketzir, it's not considered an act of harvesting. The Tana, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Peah, Hamanam Sadeyu, if somebody's cutting his field, not in one row at a time, doing a little here, a little there, and that's called menumer, it's spotty, b'shayba kalachim lachim, and he leaves the moist stalks, because they're not completely grown. Every area has to have its own peah. It's still considered one field. When is a rekiva considered each area a separate field? When you're doing it, that something that wasn't brought a third. Once it brought a third, rekiva will agree that it's not going to separate the field. So we see that according to Kiva, cutting before it's a third grown is not considered harvesting. And that's going to be, says the Gemara, Ramey's opinion as well. And since it's not an act of harvesting, it will divide the field. Eini asked the Gemara, V'kiyos Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, M'chayva Rabbi Kiva ap v'nam eloitzer, that even when you're cutting, when it's a third grown, it's still, each area will have its own chiv of peyah. To which says the Gemara, Savala Kavasei Bechada or Palale Bechada. Ramey agrees with Rabbi Kiva that if you cut it before it bore a third, it's not going to be considered an act of harvesting. But he disagrees with Rabbi Kiva, and he says that Rabbi Kiva holds that even after a third, it's not considered an act of harvesting. On that halacha, Reb Meir disagrees.